Blog Talk Radio.
New Beginnings is not just for the young. We'd like to thank you for tuning in. Once again, we are New Beginnings Ministry, and we're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock. And we do thank you for taking out time to join us this evening. We hope everyone had a joyous and a Merry Christmas as we move forward into a new year. There are some great things that God has for the believers or the body of Christ. And I look forward to what God's going to do next. For those of you who have tuned in by internet, we'd like to let you know that you can call in. It's an interactive when the speaker opens up the mic at any time. You know, if you have a question, you can ask a question. Amen. The call-in number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. And once you call in, you can join in on the topic of conversation. Amen. As the Lord ministers to this man of God from out of Waldorf, Maryland. I'm looking forward to hearing what God has placed on his heart. He is first time with speaker with Blog Talk Radio, and we are excited to have him. After Dr. Suzanne prays, we are going to, the next voice you're going to hear will be Pastor Orlando Moore from out of Waldorf, Maryland. We have on our prayer list, before we get started, we have Romel Hines, we have Tony Hines, there's Ed Stewart we have on our prayer list. We're also praying for those who are under depression, having they're going through depression during this time with this COVID. We're praying that a release, amen, for them, for those who have COVID, as well as those who are recovering, amen. There's so much that we have to pray for, but we know that God knows all, amen, hears all, and we know that God is a timely God. So that's why we have hope in knowing, you know, that God is going to bring us through it as he has always done. As we move forward, we're going to have prayer. Also, I would like to let you know that if you would like to share this message or hear this message again, you can go into the archives, go into Blog Talk Radio, then type in We Can Begin Again. We Can Begin Again, and you can hear this message shared with a friend, family, amen. It's another way of evangelizing and witness, amen, the goodness of God, amen. Dr. Suzanne.
Thank you. Father God, we just praise your name this evening, dear Lord, and we thank you. We thank you, Father God, for the opportunity to come together this last Wednesday of the year, 2020,
yes.
Dear Lord. I thank you, Father God, that at the beginning of this year, we claimed it a year of clear vision, Father God. So as we come to the end of the year, we ask you, Lord, to just continue to give us vision, Father God, and discernment, dear Lord. I thank you, Father God, that all those that are listening, Father God, have received from you that in spite of what the world says and in spite of what we feel in the natural, that in the spirit, Father God, that we are seeing your purpose for us in this life, Father God, is within the kingdom. Seeing, Father God, your word open up like a picture book, Father God, we see that we've drawn closer to you, Father God,
yes.
And that we will continue to draw close to you, Father God, not focusing on the things that are different, uncomfortable, Father God, but putting our focus on you.
Yes.
We thank you, Father God, that our purpose, Father God, it's not our own. Our agenda should not be our own, that we should be working, Father God, to fit into your plan, Father God. So
yes.
We just thank you, dear Lord. Now, your word has taught us, Father God, that all sickness and disease, Father God, is not from you, Father God, and that all we have to do is pray, Father God, because Jesus' stripes that were shed on Calvary, Father God, were for all iniquities and for the sickness and diseases in the earth, every single disease, Father, in the name of Jesus. So this evening, dear Lord, we want to lift up people that are in need of healing, Father God. We believe, Father God, that
yes.
that Jesus is Jehovah Rapha, that he is our healer, Father
yes,
God.
Thank you, Jesus.
We thank you, Lord, that for Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace, Father God, we thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you, Lord, that Jehovah Jireh is our provider, Father God. And most of the prayers this evening, dear Lord, are about sickness and health and wellness, Father God, restoration, Father
yes.
God, and healing, Father God, and for being enforced. sustenance, Father God.
Jesus.
Finances and sustenance, Father God. For jobs, Father God. For secure dwelling places, Father God. Transportation and so forth.
Yes.
Even for those that are mourning. So, Father, we just lift up these particular people. And if there's anyone else that needs lifting out, if those that are listening, Father God, whether you're listening in real time or through the archives and delayed time, if you would just call out those folks, please. The Lord does hear them. We can lay these concerns at the feet of our Father in Jesus' name.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We lift up the family of Marion Stevenson Bay, Father God. We ask you, Lord, to comfort them as they mourn, Father God. We ask you, Lord, to that they be reminded that where there was great love, Father God, that there is great grief. And mourning, the mourning is deep.
Yes.
And so I thank you, Lord, that you would just bless this family that has lost this young teenager, Father God, that you would just bless them and comfort them, Father God.
Oh, Jesus.
I thank you, Lord. We lift up people, Father God, that are fighting diseases. And your word says that every single disease is covered and that you are a God of healing. So we lift up Elisa Kasak right now in the name of Jesus, Kenneth Ferguson, Rhonda Jones, Lori Dix, and Diana England, that they are fighting for their lives, if there's anyone else that's in need of on a transplant list, anyone else that's experiencing kidney failure or on dialysis, dear Lord, we ask you, Lord, to put people around them, to lift them up, and to keep them encouraged. We lift up, Father God, and remember those that are casualties of COVID-19, and we lift up the victims of COVID-19, including Alvin Griffin, Ronnie and Linda Roy, Kathy Cox, and Joanne Jackson, Peter Thomas, and Pastor Dan. And we ask you, Lord, to protect them as they fight this disease in the hospital, dear Lord. We also lift up those victims that have survived, Father, that have survived and that are battling the residual effects of COVID-19, that they would be restored and healed, Father God. We ask you, Lord, to just encourage and protect and put your arms around the survivors and those who are caregivers, who were caregivers and are caregivers of those suffering with COVID-19, with the coronavirus. We come against any new viruses, dear Lord, in Jesus' name.
Yes.
We ask you, Lord, to comfort the family of Barbara Walker and Virgil Walker, dear Lord, as their family is experiencing end-of-life stress right now, dear Lord, that you would comfort that family, dear Lord. We ask for restoration and healing for Bernice Washington, Sherlyn Perkins, and Nancy Shaw. Also for comfort and direction for Eric Jones and Danielle Thomas, along with Chris Harper. We need the praise reports also that they have gotten good reports from the doctor.
Yes.
Dear Lord, that you would continue to put people around them, Father God, doctors and medical people around them, dear Lord, that believe in healing, Father God, and turn to you, that they will continue to experience good reports, and that we will come back and also mention it online, dear Lord, and praise you for that. We lift up the Hobbs sisters, Pearly Keller, Norman and Dwayne Rice, and William Spratlin. We lift up Christine James and Patsy Coggins, Altamise Bell. We lift up young families, dear Lord, that are living something very different, not what they expected with their children, Father God, that they would teach their children, Father God, to get through transgressions, Father God, that things are not always as they are supposed to be. Well, when you're in Christ, Father God, that they understand that they are loved and they are covered and they are not alone.
Yes.
So we just lift up Juliana, Mylisha, Amber, Alex, Charlene, Kristen, and Marlia. Right now, in the name of Jesus. Father God, we pray for peace for our mental health, Father God, not just our physical health, but our mental health as well, dear Lord.
Yes.
I ask you, Lord, to just protect, put a hedge of protection around the minds, the eye gates and the ear gates, Father God, of those that may be suffering from depression, those, Father God, that are experiencing
displaying suicide ideations, Father God, that you would just put your arms around them, put the, your ministering and warring angels around them, dear Lord, to protect their minds, Father God, and protect them, Father God, from self-harm, Father God, from self-punishment, Father God, and guilt, Father God, in the name of Jesus, and fear in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that you would give them emotional stability, Father God, that they will be psychologically balanced, Father, in the name of Jesus, and protect their minds and, again, their ear gates and eye gates.
Lord Jesus.
We praise you, dear Lord, and we thank you, Father God, as we lift up these prayers, Father God, that we don't have to come back, pick them up, Father God, because you are a handler, and you are our creator, and you will take care of all of it. In Jesus' name, we praise you, and we thank you, and we look forward to the word tonight. We look forward to growth, Father God. We look forward to praising you, dear Lord, and going out of this year on fire. In Jesus' sweet and holy name, amen and amen.
Amen, amen, amen. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Aren't you glad? We're going to move over into Waldorf, Maryland. A brother, you know, in the Word of God. We're looking forward to hearing what he she is sharing with us. Of course, he is under Bishop Larry D. Palmer from out of Maryland, and that's just, he is one who has ordained my wife and myself. You know, so we're looking forward to a word from this man of God as we move forward. We're going to get out of the way, and the next voice you hear will be Pastor Orlando Moore. Amen. Pastor Moore, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can everyone hear me clearly?
Yes, yes. You're a little low, but we can hear you.
Hold on a second. Let me get some volume here. What about now? Can you hear me better?
Yes, yes.
Okay, amen. Amen. It's thank you both. I'm humbled and honored to join you tonight, and greetings to the blog family audience. Sister Suzanne had mentioned it throughout the prayer, but I want to just talk about this blog Wednesday real quickly. This is the last blog Wednesday of 2020 that we're in, and I thought it would be appropriate to just say a few words as we prepare to transition into a new season in our lives. You know, 2020 has brought on many challenges and difficult situations for many people, families, congregations, et cetera. But I want to let you know that under those under the sound of my voice, that there is a change about to come. Amen. There is a change about to come.
Man.
You know, the Bible challenges us in Proverbs, the third chapter, verses 5 and 6. It says to trust in the Lord with all our heart, not some, not what we feel or when we feel like it, not what we think. We are instructed to trust him with all our heart. Then it goes on to instruct us to lean not to our own understanding. And all, here's that all word again, our ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths. So, you know, this reminds me that we serve a God that gives us ample opportunity. He gives us ample opportunity. And there are several examples throughout the Bible of conditions that we must meet in order for God to do what he has, that do what he declares that he will do in our lives. You know, and God doesn't submit to us conditions just to bring to the table things that we can't adhere to or accomplish. He does this because in his image, as we were created, he has given us the ability to decide to do it. So it's up to us to decide to do it. And this year has thrown us for a loop. We can honestly say we got sucker punch, or so many has got a sucker punch, and it has challenged our faith. People struggled with the issue of not being able to go to the workplace, not being able to go to their respective places of worship. We have even seen people who have been financially put in a place where they had to make hard decisions and hard choices. Do I get food or do I get medicine that I need? Do I pay my mortgage or my rent? Do I pay my car payment? This has put so much stress on many of our brothers and sisters. But unfortunately, the issue for those who are the saints of God, they hide in silent frustration because, unfortunately, there has been a doctrine provided that one's faith equates to their financial status or material things. But that's not what faith is about. What they miss is actually this is the time to get busy during this season in kingdom work. When things go awry in our lives, this is the time that we must stand up and really get busy for the Lord. So the struggle then becomes internal. It's an internal struggle. And, you know, the thought process is that I can't let them or let my brothers and sisters see me struggling. I can't let them see me going through this because they have put on that facade for so long. So we have those that allow the proud look, which is one of the things that God declares he hates in Proverbs 6 and 16, just to save face. However, I want to submit to you this. When we realize that the people of God are blessed to be a blessing, we have those that God has placed in position to be able to bless others. But see, pride stops one from receiving the blessing. You know, I digress a little bit on that. But we have to understand that God has already put our brothers and sisters of the faith in position to bless others that may be going through something. That's why David declared in his word, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Now, how is that accomplished? It isn't like God just opens up a whirlwind of money and drops it on anybody. God bless somebody that's in your circle of influence or that's a brother and sister to you, that they in a position to be a blessing because they may be in a position of overflow, that their overflow can come and fill up the area of emptiness that you may have. I hope that I'm helping somebody understand that we don't have to struggle in this season, even though this season has come to a close. We don't have to struggle this season because we don't want to let people know what we're going through. We don't want the people to know our business. No, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we ought to be there to be able to stand with one another, to be able to pray with one another, to be able to hold each other up when the other is in a weakened state, when the other is downtrodden by the things and the pressures that life is throwing at them, the situation. You know, many that was in the prayer that Sister Suzanne was praying about, you know, that lost family members, they're on their end. Some have been battling the disease that has been placed upon us or this pestilence that we can call it. And some is in the midst of a fight, you know, family. It affects the families and then it affects some will have long-term effects from it. Some will have short-term effects. Some will just recover and totally be restored back to normal. But, you know, it is going to affect in some kind of way. But we have to make sure that we understand that we are there for each other. We are blessed to be a blessing. And so, as I mentioned earlier, there's a change that's about to come. So I want you to understand that we have to trust and stand. And so the subject that I will be speaking to you tonight is entitled, as you saw on the information, Get Out the Boat. And I'm coming out of Matthew, the 14th chapter, verses 22 and 33. And I'm going to go through this, and I'm going to walk through this, and then at the end of this, I will open it up for comments and questions, if that's okay in this format. Amen? All right. Yes, so amen. Matthew, the 14th chapter, verse 22 through 33, and as I'm going through the verses, I'm going to be breaking down some things, so you may hear me not read immediately all through it, but you can follow along with me anyway. So the Word of God reads as thus. It says, and I'm not going to go back and pray again, because Sister already prayed a wonderful prayer, so I am subject to that prayer that God is going to bless us tonight in this Word. And the Word of God reads, it says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and to go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. In verse 23, and he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain by himself to pray. Put your finger on that. And now when evening came, he was alone there, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by waves, for the wind was contrary. Verse 25, now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Now watch this. The fourth watch during this time was between 3 and 6 a.m. And I want to help somebody right here. Sometimes when the Lord shows up, he does not show up when it's convenient, 7, 8, or 9 a.m. in the morning after we had a good night's sleep. God will show up in the unconventional hours to shake us. God wants to shake you awake to see if you're willing to hear him. It's at most inopportune times is when we have that encounter with the Lord. If you look over to the book of 1 Samuel, the Bible describes an interaction between Samuel, Eli, and the Lord. When the Lord shows up, we have to be ready. Verse 26 back in Matthew, it says, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out in fear. It's when we don't recognize God in our midst, fear is the one option that we tend to revert to. Our propensity is to lean toward fear instead of walking in faith. It amazes me every time when I read this text and others that illustrate that when Jesus has been with his disciples, he goes away and he returns. For some odd reason, they don't seem to recognize him. And we act that way sometimes. It's so easy for some to forget that it was God that showed up when you needed him. We tend to forget it was God that kept you when you was about to lose it all. We tend to forget that it was God who stopped the train wreck of life from running you over. We tend to forget that it was God on our side when the enemy tried to take us down. Notice that when everything is going good in our lives, there tends to be a complacent, laissez-faire attitude that we don't pray as much as we did when things wasn't going right. The study time is not as important. We don't praise him the way that he deserves it. Our worship at times does not is not intentional. We have learned to push God to the side until we need him again. When trouble comes, we suddenly remember that he is God, and we get a huge urge to seek him. Verse 27, but immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. Now, wait a minute. Could you wait a minute here? Every time I read this, it just amazes me. I know it's the word of God, but wait a minute, Peter. You of all people should know the Lord. Didn't he just say in the verse in 27, be of good cheer, it is I. You mean to tell me that you don't recognize the voice of the Lord? Now watch this and hear this. You were with him from the start. You were one of the ones who was privy to specific miracles and other that the other disciples didn't witness. And you mean to tell me you couldn't see nor hear that it was the Lord? From Peter's response, this is how some of us do. This is what happens to some of us. And the truth be told, that we get like Peter. Has the Lord ever spoken to you and your response was, Lord, if it's you? You heard the voice of the Lord, and he asks you to do something, or he commands something, or he says for you to do something, and we go back to him and say, Lord, if it's you. And the Lord, if it's you, Lord, if it's you, confirm it. Now, if we understand the voice of the Lord, then it's already confirmed because it should be locked in our spirit. But we get like that when the Lord speaks to us, even after hearing him speak to us before or several times before throughout our walk with him. We would ask God, if that's you, God, let the fly fall on the scripture or something. If I drop my Bible, Lord, or something, the scripture just pop up to confirm that you said that and you want me to do that. But we often miss opportunities and moments for God when we do not know or understand his voice clearly. And those are moments that prosper us in the kingdom. Verse 29. He said, and this is Jesus speaking, he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he had saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Now, when you know within yourself the Lord, who the Lord is, it doesn't take a miracle or a rescue out of something to know that God is God. Our relationship should be one that we understand without a doubt that the Lord is always there. He says in his word that he would never leave you or forsake you. So let's look at this. This just happens, this experience I just read, just happens right after the miracle of Jesus feeding the 5,000 men plus women and children with five loaves of bread and two fishes. Now, after Jesus dealt with the multitude of people, he sent his disciples away. Then he goes to be by himself and pray. Now, unlike the example of the Lord, when we are used to be a blessing or something great has happened at our hand by God using us, we want to let everyone know or receive the accolade. Hearing someone speak of how anointed we are and how God used us, et cetera, tends to feed our ego. But God is not using us to stroke our ego. He is using us to promote his kingdom agenda. So we love to hear when we have done something good and the people have witnessed it and acknowledge what we have done. But Jesus goes to a place of power. This is the example that we have to understand. Jesus goes to a place of power. It's when we are in a position of prayer that invokes our place of power. You know, they have that saying that that people say, more prayer, more power. And I believe that to be true. The more that we pray and seek God and have communication with him, the more that he can, the more power we have to be able to overcome and withstand the things that come after us. Because we know that the enemy does not like when we go to God and pray. He doesn't like when we're in that position of power. And that's why he tries to position of being on our knees or laying prostrate as a place of weakness. And he tries to discredit that place of power that we are in when we do that. So Jesus, in this case, he went to pray so that he can rejuvenate. Sometimes there are times when we pray just to rejuvenate, pray just to get re-strengthened or to get our strength back after being used by the Lord. The time spent in prayer is important for replenishing and strengthening us. And also when we come together, it strengthens us as believers. You know, the Bible said if one can move 1,000 a flight, two can move 10,000 a flight. You know, all of us on this line, we begin to pray. We got some stuff moving. There's some moving and shaking happening. And we say that 1 week without prayer makes 1 week. And that's literally and spiritually. 1 week, W-E-A-K, and 1 week, W-E-E-K. So 1 week without prayer makes 1 week, and that's both literally and spiritually. And so we do not have an effective prayer life. When we don't have an effective prayer life, the struggle and our faith begins. Operating in faith can and will be very challenging. Now let's check out Peter again. Here is Peter. He is challenged. He has to do something that no one else has ever done. Out on the risky waters of faith, Jesus is waiting to meet you in ways that will change you forever, deepening your character and your trust in God. The adventure of your life is just one step away. There are times when faith challenges you to move outside of what you know and understand. In other words, the things that you're comfortable with. There are moments in our lives that we have to make decisions just to get out the boat. Do you realize that God wants to stretch you? Getting out of a perfectly floating boat to get in the water is known because it's what you can see and is unknown because you don't know how deep it is. What are you going to do? That would be a good question for us. What are we going to do? In that moment, if we were Peter and the Lord showed up, would we have gotten out of the boat? Or would we have been like the other disciples and sat back and watched what Peter did? Let me see what was going to happen to him. And then after I know that he's all right, then I have faith enough to move. But see, that's not how our faith should be. There should have been a bum rush to the side of that boat for the disciples if they really understood and knew who God was. That should be like us. There should be a bum rush when the call of God comes, when he raises up the clarion call for his children to come to do whatever it is he needs them to do. There should be a bum rush. It shouldn't just be just the one person, even though God can use the one person. But when he speaks, the many of us who have heard it, we should be all not in competition for it, but all trying to get to that place where God is calling us to go and to take care of it. And so we have to get that mindset and understanding that we need to be able to hear. Many of us will stay in the protection and comfort of the boat. Why? Because it's something that we are familiar with. You're familiar with that boat. That boat is the place of protection, but not understanding that if you're with God, my goodness. When God prompts us to move to the unknown is when our insecurities begin. Because, see, we don't see it. We don't know it. We don't understand it. And so when he prompts us to move to that unknown place, that's when our insecurities begin. We just have to get out the boat. And when you get out the boat, it is stretching you out. It's the stretch that we have a problem with. Many of us have the problem with being stretched. Why? Because when you stretch, it becomes uncomfortable because we want to know how we are going to do it. We want to figure out how we're going to make it happen. We want to be basically in that control. But we have been stretched this year, if you really look at it. Let's look back at this year. We have been stretched this year. Pastors are trying to figure out how they're going to do it, how they're going to maintain churches, how they're going to pay the bills, continue to go forward until we can get back to normal. And I ask this question, what is normal? Is normal to us normal to God? Is God shaking things up to get us to stretch out? Are we seeing the bigger picture? Is our eyes fully open? You know, many have used 2020, and we see 2020 is what you call, I guess, in the world of optometry, ophthalmology, 2020 vision is perfect vision or good vision. And so we use the 2020 to talk about the vision or different themes of vision in his year, but God shook us up. He shook up our vision. What were we really seeing? Were we seeing things like God had said? Is he shaking us up to get us to stretch out, to get out the boat, go into the areas that we wouldn't normally think that we could reach, minister to those that we normally do not see in our church services, move into places of ministry that we never thought about? God has never told us what to figure out. He instructs us to trust him. Are you willing to lay it all out for God? Are you willing to lay it all out for God? Yeah. You say it now that you are, but let God come calling. Now, listen, we will come up with every excuse or question why we have to do what we have to do. This year, many of those who attended services and that were part of various ministries, they came up with every excuse and questioned their continued participation in areas of ministry. Now, I'm not going to go deep into all that about the excuses or questions, but we know it. We have heard it. We have heard them try to explain why they can't do it or what this and that and all these different roadblocks that they allowed this pestilence and pandemic to come to hinder them. But the saints of God, saints of old in the Old Testament, saints in the New Testament, we see that there were many times that there were pestilence in the land. There were things that came up that were trying to roadblock them and hinder them. However, they kept their focus on the Lord. Now, did they easily do it? No, we know that they didn't easily do it. They struggled the same way we are struggling now. But here in Philippians 4, the 4th chapter, verses 6 and 7, someone had a question? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I heard. In Philippians 4th chapter, verses 6 and 7, it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." It says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." God is telling us that he got us, basically. He's letting us know. Instead of allowing him to get it for us on our behalf, we want to devise plans and strategies to try to figure it out. When faced with a challenge, a crisis, our tendency is to get all anxious about it. But God does not want us to react this way. He does not want us to be anxious about anything. Instead, whatever the problem is, he wants us to go to him in prayer and supplication. He already knows what we need. Our job is thanking him for the answer. We have to thank him for the answer. You do realize that God knows our tomorrow before we do. He is not a God that is restricted by time. He's a God that stands outside the span of time as we operate in time. Remember, he is the beginning and the end. Let me help you understand this way. In Romans, the 8th chapter, this is what the word says. He says, "Those he foreknew, he predestined. He also called. Those he called, he also justified. And who he justified, he also glorified." That's in Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 30. Now, I'm not an English major or scholar, but I do know that ED, the ED at the end of a word, what it means. Everything that God says about you, he speaks in the terms of past tense. Let me help you understand further. What did Jesus say on the cross? He said, "It is finished." And so I know this is hard for us because it's difficult to comprehend the difference between eternity and time. But the God that we serve lives in the now, all the time. When Moses asks, "Who shall I say sent me?" he responds and say, "I am." Now, the book of Hebrews brings us to this point because Paul writes, he says, "Now faith." I believe Paul understood that God lives in the now. This is why he is the author and finisher of our faith. This is why he is Alpha and Omega. This is why he is the beginning and the end, because he lives in the now. God does not wait on the clock like we do to find out what's going to happen tomorrow. This is why he says in Matthew 6, let tomorrow worry about itself. Excuse me. When we do that, his peace, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds from all worries, anxiety, and fears. Now, anxiety keeps you from getting out the boat. Doubt will keep you from getting out the boat. Fear keeps you from getting out the boat. Sin keeps you from getting out the boat. Now, let's look at what Peter's proper response should have been. His response should not have been, Lord, if it's you. He should have just said, Lord, I'm getting out the boat to come to be with you. I'm going to just get out the boat to be where you are. I know that in your presence there is, you know, the Bible tells us that in your presence there's fullness of joy. So I don't have to worry or fear when I'm with you. When I'm with you, the insurmountable, impossible things are now possible. Now, being at a place when your faith is challenged, do you allow it to fail? Do we allow our faith to fail when it's challenged? So I just want to give you this additional point, and then we can go into some comments, questions, or discussion. Peter publicly acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah. When the Lord asked his disciples, he said, who do they believe that he was? Peter spoke up. He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, good. And that's found over in Matthew 16th chapter. He boldly confessed his faith in front of other disciples and didn't hold back for fear of their opinion, sometimes like we do. In a similar way, in public, we want to let everyone know boldly confessing. Then when we face a challenge, our words and actions should proclaim to those that surround us that we belong to him. This is what you call getting out the boat. Like Peter, when you get out the boat, you will go to uncharted territory. But you got to be willing to go to the uncharted territory. You got to walk in faith in order to go through the uncharted territory. You know, the Bible clearly tells us that we walk by faith and not by sight. So it's not seeing the water. It's not seeing the unknown, but it's the uncharted territory. And you can never get there if you don't get out the boat. Mm-hmm. Don't be the disciples who thought that Jesus was a ghost and were afraid, but get out the boat. Now, let me help you out with this also. These disciples, because they saw something that was unusual, automatically thought it was a ghost. So this tells me that at that time in the Bible, there must have been things that people were believing in, spirits and ghosts outside of Christ. And he comes walking on the water. Here's the thing that really, gets my attention. It says his disciples, they were in the boat. His disciples, wait a minute, you mean the ones that Jesus called? Because he called the disciples. You mean the ones that were around Jesus, the ones that experienced his miracles, the ones that saw that he did impossible things? You mean to tell me you couldn't come to the conclusion that had to be the Lord? The first words out of your mouth should have been, Jesus, is that you? Not talking about a God. Jesus wouldn't have to say, be of good cheer, it is I. And so because he knew that they was afraid, they should have been in a place already. So it shows us that no matter how close that you think that you're walking with the Lord, no matter how anointed that you feel that you are, no matter how powerful and how this or that in regard to the spirit or how much knowledge that you believe you got of scripture, got of the word and all that stuff, if your faith does not line up with where you think that you at or believe that you know you're at, your faith will actually identify where you're really walking at. Because when that faith is challenged, it's going to identify where you're really walking at. See, we can fake it and we can do all this and we can go out there and say that we are this and that. And yes, the Lord is with us and I'm blessed and highly favored, which that's incorrect understanding of scripture. But we're not going to get into that either. But we're going to go in here and we say all these different cliches things and all these things to try to justify where we are at. But you got to understand, when you know that you are God, you already know that you are already blessed. You already know that the favor of the Lord is upon you. Matter of fact, all you married folks out there, you brothers, we walking in divine favor, because the Bible says clearly that a man that finds himself a wife finds a good thing. So number one, that's a good thing, and obtains favor of the Lord. So so I don't have to go out there and talk about, oh, I'm favored this and favored that, because when I got that good thing that we got, I already know that I got favored. But see, that's the thing. We got to understand what the word really expresses and tells us. And so that's why I love how Paul teaching his son Timothy, he says, Timothy, study to show yourself approved, a workman, need not be ashamed, rightly dividing, rightly understanding, rightly interpreting, rightly knowing the word of God. And so this is what we have to do. In 2021, I challenge you. I challenge you that's under the sound of my voice. Listen, to get out the boat. Get out the boat in regards to your study of your word, meaning that you understand what the word of God. You got to understand the spirit of the word. Many of us understand the logos. The logos of the word is the written word. We understand the written word, but many are lacking understanding the rhema. There's a rhema word. I'm sure you have heard that statement. It's not just a cliche. That is literal. Rhema means spirit. There's a spirit of the word. So we got to understand not only the logos, but we got to understand the spirit of the word. That means the intent. What is that word really saying to us? What is that word really giving us? And so I want to challenge you. I want to challenge your faith walk that, yes, we don't know what this pandemic pestilence is going to do. We know that there is a vaccine out there. Many of us say, well, you know, we listen, just like any other vaccine, it doesn't stop from you being able to catch the actual virus, but it's supposed to hinder the comorbidities and all those other things. So you have to decide after you pray and you seek God, is this vaccine for you or not? You know, we're not going to get into a vaccine debate on this, but it's just things that you got to seek. Remember Proverbs 3rd chapter. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. So you got to pray and allow God to direct your path. How can he direct your path? You got to be able to hear God. So that means you got to ask God to open up your ears, put some ear salve upon your ears. This year, consecrate yourself to the Lord, the beginning of this new season, to hear God clearly. Don't be like Samuel in that example that I told you about, 1 Samuel, when he was there with Eli, and the Lord said, the monks called him, and Samuel ran to Eli and said, yes, you called me, because Samuel did not understand the voice of the Lord. We understand the Bible gives us that understanding that they didn't hear the voice of the Lord back then, but Samuel, when he heard the voice of the Lord, did not recognize it. Some of us, God will speak to us, and we don't recognize it. So that means that we have to get into a place in our walk. We have to get into a place in our faith that we can be able to hear and receive of the Lord. The Bible clearly tells us without faith it is impossible to please him. So, yes, something has come. Yes, we are fighting off this pestilence. Yes, we are adjusting our lives. We are adjusting the way we do ministry. We are adjusting the way we do things. You know what? As long as we have God, King Jesus, on our side, we don't need to worry about anything else. Let tomorrow worry about itself, but we're going to be in the now, because we don't know. Tomorrow, God could just open up the skies and come back and reclaim us to him. So we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. But when we're in the now, yes, we may have family members that's affected. Yes, we may have concerns. And yes, it's human nature for us to be concerned. I'm not saying that we are robots and we don't have no feelings. Yes, it's human nature for us to be concerned. It's human nature for us to be sometimes to be apprehensive and even worried. But God said, I've not given you a spirit of fear. So when the worry comes, the worry can come. The anxiety comes, the anxiety comes. But you can put that anxiety and worry in place and say, God, I'm turning this over to you. You said that you got it. So, God, I'm trusting you that much that you got this. And whatever your will is, Lord, let your will be done. But, God, this is my request. And so this is how we begin to put our faith into practice. Faith without works is dead. In 2020, I can see on the faces of those that are walking in fear by their actions that they did not put their faith in the work. I'm not saying have a blind faith that we are walking and not adhering to the laws of the land or things that are happening amongst us, that if we have medical conditions or different things like that. I'm talking about trusting the Creator, that one who knows your every hair on your head to the soles of your feet. And so we can trust in God, and when we hear him, he can lead us to the place. If he tells us to don't go, then we don't go. But if he tells us to move, then we move. because God has it all. God has everything under control. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 11, it says that by faith the elders obtain a good report. It's by faith that we will obtain that good report before the Lord. So what will your faith report say? Will it say that you sat there, or did you get out the boat? Is your faith report going to say that you sat there? Or is your faith report going to say that you got out the boat and you continued, even in the midst of this pestilence, even in the midst of the storm, that you continued the good fight of faith, that you continued to walk the walk that you had to walk, that you continued to promote God's kingdom agenda, that you continued to do the things that God had instructed you to do. You know, many people have stopped in their tracks this year, 2020. God got them moving, and they were on the way. And when this came, they stopped in their tracks, and they used this as excuse to not go forward in what God has called them to go forward in. And they have used this to make that excuse to be able to lean on and lay on that, God, I couldn't do it because of X, Y, Z. They closed everything down. They did this. But God, just like this blog, has other means and ways for us to be able to get what he has called us to do out there. What happened is, if we were to look at the big scheme of things, those that used to not be on social media, all of a sudden they part of social media. All of a sudden they part of the Facebooks, the Instagram, the whatever else is out there. They all are part of it now. They wasn't before that. Some even say, "Oh, I don't do that," but now they have no choice but to do it if they want to get information. And so now we have the opportunity to utilize that to the max, just to be able to spread God's kingdom word, to spread the gospel. We can use that if God has called you to spread the word. If God has called you to be a witness for him, if God has called you to deliver something for people to hear because he has deposited something in you, it's not deposited in you for you to hold on to it. It's deposited into you so that you can spread the wealth or spread the blessing. Be blessed to be a blessing to others that will help somebody that may be in that spiritual funk or maybe in that place where their faith is challenged, to give them an encouraging word, to build them up, to let them know that they can stand. And after having done all to stand, to stand therefore, understanding that the Lord has got their back. And God has given us these opportunities, and we must not miss maximizing the moment now that majority of the world, not just people, but majority of the world now has their turn to social media. In order, because they are stuck in their homes and they are stuck in this and they are stuck in that place because of this pandemic. So yes, God threw a monkey wrench in some people's plans that they were going to do it this way, or they had thoughts that they was going to build it this way, or they're going to do it this way. But like I said earlier, God came in and he shook some things up. Now it's incumbent upon us that as he shook it up, that we now can go forward and do the things that God has called us to do. He is shaking things up to get us to stretch out, get us to stretch out, to get out the boat, to get us to do things we would not normally think about doing in order to promote his kingdom agenda. Amen. That's what I got for you today. In 2021, let your faith pull you to a place that you never thought that you could obtain. So that's what I got. Amen. Anybody got questions, alibis, comments?
Amen. All mics are open.
And I pray that this word was something that was refreshing, that helped you to understand. This is where God has us at this very moment. We are sitting in that boat, and the Lord is coming to walk toward us. And we have to, first of all, we have to recognize that is the Lord walking towards us. We have to recognize that is the Lord that's calling us. And when we recognize and acknowledge that it's him and he's calling, now we got to take action. So I ask you, what action will you take?
Mm-hmm. Amen. Are there any comments? All mics are open. Any comments? All mics are open. Amen. I always say that When no one has anything to say, that means that they were fed and the food was good. Pastor Orlando Moore, we do thank you for coming on blog and sharing your time with us this evening, sharing with the Word of God. You traveled, you know, all over the Bible, sharing with us and reminding us that even though that we're going through this pandemic, that we have to trust in the Lord. We have to get out of the boat and knowing that God is going to take care of whatever we do within these times. I can say that I was fed by that, and it definitely, you know, just kind of reminded me to not to focus on the things that we're going through, the struggles and the trials that we're going through right now, but we are to trust in the Lord, as you stated from Proverbs 3. It definitely blessed me this evening, and I do thank you for at least taking time and coming on the blog and sharing with the body of Christ. Oftentimes we have a number of members from so many different cities that are on right now, and sometimes, you know, again, it's like sitting around the table and just hearing the Word of God. So you definitely blessed, you know, us in this household. Amen. It was definitely a word worth hearing. And I ask each and every one of you to share it with a friend, especially during these times right now, because many people are feeling fear. They're feeling doubt, you know, and they're feeling like they are stuck in the boat, you know, and that's just exactly what Pastor Moore was saying. You know, don't get stuck. You know, don't get stuck on what's going around. Get out of the boat and knowing, you know, that God has an assignment for you, has an assignment for me. It's definitely a blessing.
And don't be comfortable just sitting there in the boat watching it, what everyone else is doing. You know, because people can become lazy, like Pastor Moore said, that become lazy, and it's easier. It's easy to just sit back and watch everyone else and wait till everyone else does it. But if the Lord is calling you to do something, just to step up, or like you were saying in the fourth watch, am I correct? Is it fourth watch?
Yes, ma'am.
That's the time when the Lord wakes you up. And when you said that, I don't know if you heard me, but I was raising my hands and ready to shout, because that's been happening to me this week. I get up early most of the time anyway, but this week it's like about 4:30, 5 o'clock, the Lord wakes me up and I can't go back to sleep. And John says, what are you doing? Uh-huh. I said, I needed to pray.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't be afraid of God's voice, can't get comfortable just doing things and sitting in the status quo. This is the time when the Lord is giving us that vision and giving us our place, and wanting us to walk in our purpose. And this was an excellent, excellent message. I'm taking my notes and everything. I'm going to have to go back and review it again. So I praise God that we have the library so that we can go back and listen again, because I need to – I couldn't write fast enough.
Amen. I might have been too fast because I was excited in regards. That's why I kind of slowed down a little bit. I said, wait a minute, if people are taking notes, so just trying to understand, I wanted to make sure. But and as you said, you know, and this was compelled upon my heart when I knew I had to do the blog. I just began to look and say, okay, Lord, what is it that you need to feed your people? Because we are in a place that you can see, you can clearly see that people have taken opportunity to relax. The focus is totally on, you know, what's happening out there in the world with the pandemic. They're looking at the pandemic news. They're looking at the vaccine news. They're looking at the political news with who won election, who didn't. They're looking at all these distractions, and they are forgetting, even in the midst of this, souls need to be saved. Even in the midst of this, some people need to be fed something in the word, and also literally. You know, Jesus, when he fed the 5,000, he not only fed them spiritually, but he fed them literally. And we have to be that place. God has placed us to be a blessing, to be able to bless others, whether it's literal or whether it's spiritual. We have to be in that position to get up out of that boat. And like Dr. Suzanne said, don't just sit there in it. just and looking at everybody else and see what they're going to do. But you get up out the vote. Be the first to get up out the vote. And yes, it may be something that's that you think is impossible, but God is the God of impossibilities.
Amen.
Listen, as we come to a close, you know, would you like to, you know, close up with a benediction, and we're going to move into our interlock. Thank you so much again for taking our time to come on and share with the body of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Pastor Moore, would you close us out with a benediction?
Amen. Amen. Yes, definitely. And again, I pray that those that have been listening, that this word has blessed you, have infiltrated into the recesses of your heart and your soul and your spirit, that you may draw from it at a later time. Father, we thank you. And God, we give you glory for you blessing us. And let everyone that received this word hear, listen, and move in it. Now, for those of you that are hearing, get out the boat. Do that and go forth and do what God has called you to do. And don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Be blessed in the Lord. God bless you, and we love you.
Amen. Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
I face the dawn.